We're dealing with the subject of God is real, and I don't think anybody here needs to be convinced of that, but we'll give you some things that you can use, and perhaps in talking to someone else, because we're living in a society in which that so many people don't believe that God is real. And just for example, the shooter in Minneapolis, one of the things he had, I don't know what you listen to as a news source, but boy, there's a big variation of what the regular newscast are talking about this and what is really there. But one of the things he had was, where is your God? And that was one of his things as he shot up this parochial school. But anyway, verse 1 of Revelation chapter 4, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. He that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. There was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. There were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. In the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, the second beast like a calf. The third beast had the face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts, and each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne, and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. First of all, I would like to start by saying the incarnate Son of God, who became man and then lived and died and resurrected and ascended, that is not some religious fantasy. That is historical fact. It's historical fact. And that's why we have Christmas, and that's why we have Easter. So the idea that there's nothing to substantiate the fact of God, that one blows it out of the water right there. Jesus Christ is a historical fact. You notice in verse 1 of chapter 4, it says, after this. So this is all future. Man likes to reference millions of years in the past, but man doesn't have a reference for the future. God is eternal. He had no beginning. He has no end. So the matter of how many millions of years in the past, it doesn't matter because God was there. So I think we can just think about that a little bit when they start talking about millions of years in the past. Well, God was there. The earth wasn't there, though, in millions of years ago. The earth wasn't brought to pass till about 6,000 years ago. I want to just look at a couple references in Luke chapter 3. In Luke chapter 3, and there in verse 23. In Luke chapter 3 and verse 23, it says, Jesus began to be about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli. In other words, Jesus wasn't really the biological son of Joseph. We know he had no earthly father, but he was legally the son of Joseph, and that gives him his entitlement to the throne. But go just kind of scan down those verses, go all the way to verse 38, which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. So you have an accurate genealogy from the days of Christ all the way back to the first man. So every one of them's listed here. Now, that means that that's not millions of years, but between the beginning of the human race until the time of Christ. Various places in the Bible, God gives us time to put with these generations. One of those is Genesis chapter 5, when God tells you how old Adam was when he begat Seth, and how old Seth was when he begat his son, and how old he was when he begat his son. And it gives you actual years. You can sit down with a calculator and figure out how many years it was from Adam until Noah. And it's, I think, roughly 1,400 and some years. And then there's other places in the Bible that do the same. So you can actually take the Bible and take years all the way up to the time of Christ. Can bring you to that. And of course, from that time on, we know we have records that bring us to 2025. The eternal God created our universe. I want to go back to Genesis chapter 1. We're going to give you some things that perhaps you can use in reasoning with those that maybe don't know whether there's a God or not. But here in Genesis 1:1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." And verse 31 says, "God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good, and the evening and the morning were the sixth day." So everything, including man, was created in 6 days. God made everything operational to where that when he created it, it all functioned, it all worked. It did not have to go through a process of time for all of it to get set up. You notice in Genesis 2:1, it says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them." Now, notice, "thus the heavens," plural, "and the earth were finished, and all the host of them." There are several heavens, not just the one that you look up to at night or day and see the stars and see the sun and the moon. There are several heavens, but there's only one earth. In Psalm chapter 148 and verse 4, "Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that are above the heavens." 2 Corinthians 12:2, Paul referred to being caught up to the third heaven when by inspiration he received his visions. And of course, we read back in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1, John said he was in the spirit and he saw this. So that again was by inspiration. Man is aware that there's something out there beyond our universe. Scientists are aware of that. There's something else out there besides just our universe. And so you take the fact that there are the heavens of heavens, that explains why the astronauts don't see God when they get in their spaceship and go up into our outer space. God isn't that. He's not in that heaven. He's not there. I know that was one of the first things that the first Russian cosmonauts said, "Well, I don't see God anywhere." Well, God's not in that heaven. And so that's why that you don't see him. God is not so naive that he would create a situation where that wicked men could get in a spaceship and get to heaven. He's not that naive to do something like that. So he's not up there where the moon and all of those things are. Now about the creation, Hebrews 11:3 says, "Through faith we understand that the worlds," well, I'm going to read it, so Hebrews 11:3, "Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So God didn't take one thing and change it into another, but he just created out of nothing by his word, and that's how everything came to pass. For example, if you go back to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, "Let there be light," and there was light. So all God had to do was speak it, and it would happen. Those who want to attribute everything to evolution, and that is things developing from one thing to another, I've never heard of any explanation how that light evolved. Have you ever heard anything about evolution, about how that brought to pass light? There is none. I've never heard any explanation as to how air came to pass by evolution. There is none. And what about sound? I've never heard any explanation how that sound evolved from something else. We know it didn't. In Genesis chapter 2, and there in verse 4, "These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created, in a day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth. And there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground." Now notice that, because that is essential to your understanding about when God sent the flood. It had never rained up to that time before. And so people just totally discounted the fact that it was going to rain and have a flood. They didn't believe the word of God. But up until that time, there was just a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." So man is the last thing to have been created. That means man cannot take any credit at all for the creation. But man was created different, and that is, God didn't just say, "Let there be a man," and there was a man, but it says, "The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul," so an eternal being. Man not only has a body, but he has a soul, which is eternal from God. So you go back to the first chapter of Genesis and notice in verse 26, God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." That's why man has dominion over the animals. Rather than the earth be a planet of apes, that's ruled by apes and man being under their dominion. God made man to have dominion. So it doesn't matter how big the elephant, it doesn't matter how fierce that the lion may be, man still have dominion over them because God gave man that dominion. Have you ever wondered where the idea came from to have one out of 7 days of the week to go to church? Why not one out of every 10 days? Why not one out of every 20 days? Why not one out of, or two out of the year, like many people have come to Easter and Christmas? Well, look at Genesis 2 and verse 2 and 3. "And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made. He rested on the seventh day, which from all his work which he had made, and God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made." God ordained a 6-in-1 pattern. A 6-in-1 pattern. All down through the history of man, there has been the 6-in-1 pattern. Why? God ordained it. The 6-in-1 pattern rules over everything. Every calendar, every work week, everything, there's a 6-in-1 pattern. I don't matter if you play professional sports or whatever you do, the 6-in-1 pattern rules. It has always ruled. Why? God ordained it. That's the reason it's there. It's the reason that it's not just 1 in 10 or something like that, but it's 6 in 1. And then have you ever wondered why there's never been a real climate change and never will be? Well, in Genesis chapter 8, and there in verse 22, in Genesis 8 and verse 22, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. So you're turned on to the TV, and the TV is telling you, oh my, you know, climate change, and this is happening, that's happening. And then a few minutes later, the weatherman comes on, and he talks about how hot it is. And he says, well, the record was set back in 1916. Or the cold day, well, the record goes back to 1930. In other words, it's not changing. There are cycles. And even before they started keeping records, there probably were more extremes than what we're seeing now. So it's not changing. It never will change. God ordained it not to change. And have you ever wondered about when the earth's natural resources will run out and what the future of the world will be then? I'm persuaded that, you know, they're pumping oil all the time, getting oil out of the ground, out of the ground. Well, someday there's not going to be any more oil in the ground. So what about that? Have you ever wondered about how that's going to play out in the future? Well, let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3. And notice here in 2 Peter chapter 3, and there in the third verse, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. I've had people tell me, oh, I've heard that all my life. So it's not going to happen. Heard it all my life. Hadn't happened yet. For this they willingly are ignorant of, in verse 5, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Now go down to verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Revelation 21:1 talks about the day when I saw a new heaven and a new earth, because the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. I want to go back to Psalm chapter 102. We'll look at a few scriptures on this. Psalm chapter 102, and there in verse 25. Psalm 102, verse 25. Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth. The heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. Isaiah 65:17 says, behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind. So we don't have to worry about the fact that the earth is going to run out of natural resources and then doomsday in that fashion, because God is going to step in before all of that happens, and he'll destroy the old earth, make a new heavens and a new earth. The question is, where will you be then? That's the question. Not a question of how it's going to happen, but where will you be? The same Bible that tells us where man came from also tells us where man is going. There's only one origin, but there are two destinies. And heaven or hell. Those are the only two destinies. Now, the knowledge of God has been around from the beginning of time. The knowledge of heaven and hell has been around from the beginning of time. It is known by every religion. It don't have to be just Christianity necessarily, but you can go to Africa and you'll find that people believe in a God. They believe in a hereafter. And it has been known since the fall of man. So don't let anybody tell you that God, creation and heaven and hell are just ideas that develop due to ignorance and imagination. These are facts that are recorded in all the history of mankind. You'll find writings, even in heathen nations, you'll find writings of a belief in God and a hereafter. So the problem is, many don't have all the truth regarding that. And they don't have the truth in regarding to the reality that they need to know. And even barbarians have some knowledge of God. They have some knowledge of the hereafter. If God wasn't true, if there wasn't a hereafter, it would have been exposed a long time ago. But it has come down in every generation, every continent, man is aware of God. He's aware of a hereafter. I want to go to Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1, and notice here in verse 18, Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. The only reason that the truths of God are not present everywhere, and the truths of God are not received, is not that the truth doesn't exist. But the reason is, verse 21, man doesn't want the truth. You know, Christ said in the third chapter of John, this is a condemnation that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Why are we seeing the moral perversion sweep over societies like never before in our country? Why LGBTQ plus, trans, whatever you want to put it? Why is that? Well, it never existed when I was young. But why is it so prominent now? Well, look at verse 24. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. God tells you why. People have rejected God to the extent that God had to give them up and over. And when God gave them up and over, the most vile affections of human depravity are coming out. It's not that people are born this way. It's because people are without God. That's why you see these things happening in our society. And then why are we seeing so much violence? and corruption and immoral conduct. You notice in verse 28, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication. By the way, the percentage is very high of childbirth now out of wedlock. Children being born out of wedlock. I think in Washington, D.C., I don't know what it was, 70-some percent or 90-some percent of the children that are born in Washington, D.C. are born out of wedlock. That's due to fornication. So, think about it. Wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection. So you can put a lot there of abortion, trans, all of those things. Implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So it's willful rejection of God's word. That's why we're seeing these things happen. The people who founded our country, who wrote our Constitution, credited all the success of being able to do so to God. They credited all of it to God. I don't think they were just a bunch of religious fanatics. I think they knew what they were doing. And I think they were very much aware that none of it would have happened without God. So wherever you find a government that does not believe in God, what kind of government will it be? Cruel, oppressive, people won't be free. People will be under a power that has enslaved them. Then why the hatred of the Jews? You ever wondered about that? Why is there so much hatred of Jewish people? In Matthew 24:9, Christ said this. He said, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. Ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Where did the Jews come from? Where did the nation of Israel come from? God raised it up. And of course, we have that record in the Bible that God raised it up out of a man and woman who couldn't have any children. And Abraham was 99 years old, Sarah was 90, and God returned to them the time of life and gave them a son, Isaac. And then from Isaac to Jacob to the 12 patriarchs down into Egypt, there they grew and multiplied. God brought them out, brought them into the land of Canaan. Why did he do it? To accomplish his purpose. He told Abraham in the beginning that in his seed all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And that is a prophecy of the coming Savior, Jesus Christ. So God raised up the nation of Israel to accomplish his purpose of providing a Savior for mankind and the defeat of the devil. That was prophesied back in the third chapter of Genesis. So sin and Satan tried to destroy the Jews all through the Old Testament. But they failed. Christ still came. He provided the victory over sin and Satan. And then, from that point on, sin and Satan has still tried to destroy the Jewish people in every generation. And of course, they were scattered back by the Roman Empire. They lost their nationality. And for thousands or hundreds and even thousands of years, you might say, they did not exist as a nation, but they still existed as a people. And God brought them back again. We now have the nation of Israel. That's never happened to any other race of people. Any other race of people like the Edomites or the Ammonites or the Hittites or the Girgashites, they never came back after their nation was destroyed. But the Jewish people, even though millions of them have been destroyed by haters, they've always come back They're still a nation. So why are they so much hated? Because God is using them to accomplish his purpose, and his purpose is yet for Christ to rule and reign for 1,000 years from the throne of David. And of course, at the end of that, it's going to be the devil's demise as he's cast into the lake of fire. But what I'm saying is this: if God did not exist, if Jesus had not come to Israel, the Jews would be perhaps the most highly exalted people in the world because they're successful. The world wouldn't hate them. Nations would be glad to have Jews. They would want to import Jews because Jews have been a very productive people. But why are they hated? Why are there people out here on college campuses who hate the Jews, who are crying out for death, you know, from the river to the sea? They want to see Israel destroyed because of the enmity of sin against God's plan and God's purpose. John 3:16 says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And I want to conclude our thoughts this morning with just asking you the question: have you ever come to him by faith as your Lord and Savior? The reality of God is everywhere. Don't miss it. And the reality of God's salvation is there for whosoever will. Don't fail to partake of it. The reality of God's opportunity, once you're saved to serve him, is there. Don't miss it. May we bow our heads for prayer. Father, we're thankful for your word. We're thankful for your reality. We do not have that reality in our flesh and blood, because our flesh and blood is spiritually dead. It is at enmity with God. And that's why we have to be born again. That's why we have to receive Christ as our Savior. And when we do, you give to us the power to become your children. But Father, we live in a time in which that so many people are so confused and misguided. And we know it's because of the exclusion that has taken place on the part of men, to where that even in mainstream America, it is not a popular thing to go to a New Testament church at all. And even perhaps to just eliminate a church altogether and just go on with your worldly life. So we know we're in a time that's much like the days of Noah and much like the days of Lot, in which that there is so much corruption and violence due to the forsaking of God. And so we pray that you'll help us to be very sure about where we're at with you and what we're doing with the life you've given, and especially if we're saved, what we're doing with our redeemed status. May your Holy Spirit give the invitation, for it's in Jesus' name we pray.